Let me begin by getting you to think of your life, particularly your life as a Christian, and then to start thinking about who have been the significant people in your journey of faith thus far. Thus far might be a year or two, or it might be 80 or so years. Who knows how long it's been? But as I think about that question, who have been the significant people in my faith journey, there's a whole bunch of people that come to mind. There's my parents, who took me to church every week, who, working in ministry and seeing some of the darker sides of how Christians can live and behave, protected me from it as a child so that I thought church was a mostly happy place full of lovely people. My youth leaders, who put up with me, there's one of them here today, who taught me things and who challenged me. My ministers, who when I was starting to take my faith seriously, took a chance on me, gave me opportunities to step out and saw gifts that perhaps I didn't see in myself. When I eventually landed at theology college, my lecturers, who taught me, who invested in me, who shaped me. And then, of course, my Christian brothers and sisters. I've had many friends along the way, at key moments and at vital times, who I've shared life with and who've spoken into my life and who've let me speak into their life, who's been there for me through good times and bad and have helped me to understand God's love, mercy and grace. You see, as I think about my life as a Christian, I realise that I don't turn up here today to preach this sermon as your pastor by myself. I haven't arrived at this point today without the deliberate and significant investment of time, training, and love from many and varied people that God in his kindness has placed into my life. And I suspect that if you're sitting here today, listening to this sermon from home even, and if you describe yourself as a Christian, you too can think, if you haven't thought about it before, maybe it's a good exercise to do, to think of all the people God's used who've made a difference in your life, who've shaped you, who've changed you. And I want to say, this is, a sense, in the essence, what it is to be a disciple maker, though we can do it a little bit more deliberately than perhaps sometimes we do by accident. And that's what we're talking about today, disciple making. This is a season the church is in, as we're farewelling the henches today, of change. And as we go through this season and as we call time on what has been as a step into what will be to come, as we heard last week, we believe that though life changes all the time, and though the context we're called to minister to changes in all the time, God never changes. As we heard from Hebrews last week, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And our belief is that God has called us and continues to call us, as he has called all people for all time, to be people who bless those whom God places them amongst, a church for Lindisfarne, and who helps them to grow in their knowledge and love of God, making disciples of Jesus. Now, as we heard last week, we do strongly believe that we're called to be a blessing to our community, both corporately as a church together and individually in our own walk with the people God places in our life. And while there's all sorts of good things that we do try and do to be that blessing, create spaces of connection, give away money or food to those in need, all sorts of different things we can do, let out people use our building for community events. Ultimately, though, the greatest blessing that we bring to our community is the gospel. The greatest thing we can do for anyone is to share with them the message of life and hope found in Jesus. The best way we can be a blessing is to make disciples. Because disciples are the people who are truly blessed. Because disciples are the ones who've moved from death to life in Jesus Christ. As John put it so well and succinctly in that very famous verse in his gospel, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." There is no greater blessing that can come upon you than to move from death to life in Jesus Christ, and to understand that this happens not of your own doing and will, but because of God's great love for you in Jesus Christ. So, given that's the heart of how we want to bless people, not all we want to do, but it's the heart of it and the engine room of it, and we feel called to making disciples of Jesus, what do we need to consider as we go about that task? Well, I think the first thing is to remember, even though we feel this is something God has called us to do, it's something that we do with God, empowered by God. In fact, it's God who gives the growth. Let me remind you of a passage of scripture you may be familiar with. Excuse me. From 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 to 9. The Corinthians are having a bit of an argument about which apostle they follow. And Paul says, "What after all is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but it is God who has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labour, for we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building." We make disciples as God's co-workers. We plant, we water, but it is God who gives the growth. As we seek to be a church for Lindisfarne, making disciples of Jesus, we must get on with the activity of planting and watering God's field, God's building, to use Paul's language in verse 9 of that chapter of 1 Corinthians. But we must remember we do it under God, with God, through God. And we must seek to be praying that God would bring the growth and using our endeavours for the building of his kingdom and the transforming of the lives of our community. So it's God who brings the growth. It's we who he calls to do the work alongside him. And of course, God is very keen that we do this work. Yes, he brings the growth, but that doesn't mean we stop and go, well, logically, if God's bringing the growth, I do nothing. Because Jesus said, no, do it. Go and make disciples. Go and plant, go and water. Those famous words Jesus gave to his disciples as he ascended into heaven in Matthew 28. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given for me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." It is God who makes us grow, but he's called us to partner with him. He has blessed us with the marvelous opportunity of seeing our efforts bear fruit. And he's called us to be active in disciple making, to teach people, to draw out the meaning of scripture and apply it to the lives of other people. Maybe you want to go get one of those free books later on. And we do it not by ourselves, but with Jesus by our side and under his authority. It's right that we say we want to be a church for Lindisfarne. That's good that comes first. We want to be known as a church that that blesses, that gives things away for free, because this is a great demonstration of the gospel, right? The God, in his mercy and grace, has freely given his Son to all who would believe. But we must never make that the primary thing that we're on about. We must never carry on blessing without deliberately acting to make disciples and seeking to grow people in the faith, to teach them to obey Jesus. So, under God, by his empowering presence, if we're going to go to work making disciples, teaching people the commands of Jesus, and helping them grow as and watching and seeing them grow, what does that look like? What should you do to be a disciple maker? Do you need to come and be a minister one day? Well, I want to take a look at Timothy, where our reading was from today, as an example of the multifaceted way God uses disciples to make disciples, and they're not all ministers or apostles necessarily. Let me remind you of those words in our first and the first part of our reading today, from chapter 1. Who is it that is invested in the life of Timothy to get him to the point where he's at today? Have a look at verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And as the reading continued in the second part in chapter 3, we see the impact that those women have had on his life. As for you, verse 14 of chapter 3, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Timothy is ordained to pastor the church by Paul, but Paul's turning up at the end. He's putting the cherry on top. Mum and grandma have been doing the work, disciplining, training, and growing Timothy to be a man of God. All sorts of people have a role to play in the disciple-making project. And notice in that second part of the reading in chapter 3 that there's a tool that has been used by Eunice and Lois, by Paul himself, and which Paul's now encouraging Timothy to use in his disciple-making of others as the pastor. And what's the tool? The Scriptures. That's right. You know from infancy the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation in through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You can't make disciples without the Bible. The Scriptures teach, rebuke, correct, train, and equip. They teach us right from wrong. They direct us on the path. And so the disciple-making project is a project under God and with God and only possible through God of helping people to understand who God is and what he's done for them by teaching them the Scriptures. And passing on the faith to others, making disciples, training them with the scriptures is what the church at its best has been on about for the last 2,000 years, ever since Jesus left us with those instructions to go and make disciples and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. It's even sort of implicit in there, isn't it, that you need to use the words of Jesus to make disciples. And so that's the task we have before us. Though we go through seasons of change, times of up and down, we need to continue to remember what it is God has called us to. His instructions to us remain the same, that we proclaim the good news and that we help people to grow in their faith by teaching them the scriptures and that we help them to mature as disciples of Jesus and rejoice as God brings the growth to our efforts. So, how? What are you going to do? What's the point? What should you do today? How do you go home? Well, perhaps one application point that's not prepared in my notes today is that you go get that book from Kerry. You've got no idea what to do. Maybe that book might help you think about how you can teach someone the scriptures. But as we think about the disciple-making process as a church and what we're trying to achieve, we tend to think of this in terms of taking people on a journey, a pathway. There's sort of like another phrase that goes with those two phrases that you see every Sunday when you come to church. A church for Lindisfarne helping people a church for Lindisfarne making disciples of Jesus, the next bit, helping people take their next step with Jesus. We want people, wherever they're at, to take one step in the right direction. One step deeper into their knowledge and love of God. And if you come, lift the curtain behind all that we do and get an insight into my head, what I think about is this thing called the Pathways Strategy, which is basically trying to take people on a journey in that, let's call it that direction, whatever way that is for you, of knowing nothing about God to knowing a lot about God. We want people to take their next step with Jesus. And you can think of all the people in your life, the people that you know through the ministries you might be involved with in this church, the people you're sitting next to right now, the people in your home, the people in your family, the people you work with. All of them could do one thing that would help them progress. And I think that's a useful way to approach the disciple-making task that God has given us. Because if we think of it abstractly and in large terms, it becomes overwhelming, doesn't it? Oh my goodness, how am I going to disciple everyone? I don't know enough. Well, you know the people that you know and that you love, and if you pray and if you think about them, I'm sure you can think of one thing you could do that might help them take one more step on the journey today, this week, this month. And then you can do that process again next week, and the week after, and the month after, and the year after. The essence of what we're trying to do as we make disciples is to think about how we can individually and corporately help them progress to take a step to become more like Jesus. So, let me ask you this. As you think about the people God has placed in your life, your children, your spouses, your colleagues, your neighbours, your friends, your teammates, how is it that you can seek to disciple? Now, for some, that's going to be evangelism. But for those that are Christians, how can you help them to grow? What's the next thing they need? And if you think about the start of my sermon and all those people I talked about who've had an impact and a role in my life, You know, some of them were intentional impacts, some of them were by accident impacts. Imagine if we all just got a little bit more intentional. If we all spent just a moment or two thinking about something specific that we could do that would help them grow. And as we've heard from Timothy's life story, the thing that's going to help us be more intentional, more specific, and more effective is if whatever that thing we come up with, it probably involves the Bible in some way. Because it's the Holy Scriptures which have shaped Timothy and made him wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. It's the Scriptures which have taught, rebuked, corrected, and trained him in righteousness. And they do the same for us and for our friends and for our family and for our neighbours. So let's pray. Let's think of those whom we love, whom God has placed in our lives, and let's ask God to show us and to give us the courage to do something intentional that helps them to take one more step with Jesus, to grow just a little bit more, so that we can be living out our calling that Jesus has given to each of us to go and make disciples. Amen.